stand. And I know you were all standing and walking around for a few minutes there, but it is so great to have Brother Patterson with us here tonight. He's a missionary to Romania, Bulgaria, and Hungary, and he's going to share a little bit of their field of labor with you tonight, and then he's going to go over some needs that they have, and I just believe that God is going to do a great thing here tonight. You did a great job this morning. Thank you so very much for preaching to us, brother.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you again for this wonderful opportunity. We do not normally stay at a Sunday morning and Sunday night at the same church, but this is a blessing to us, and I'm thankful for that, and I appreciate all the kind remarks. Thank you for all of you who've taken care of us. Ne ducem salutări de la frații, de la sorori. In Romania, we bring greetings to you from our brothers and sisters in Romania. Amen. Mulțumim din suflet pentru bunătatea ta. Thank you very much from our bottom of our heart for your goodness and the things that you've done for us. We are so very thankful for what God is doing around the world. And I'm telling you, church, it is teamwork that the job gets done. Now, I pulled in the parking lot this morning at about 9:15, and I saw all the cars, and I thought, Michael, you've made a huge mistake. Church started at 9 o'clock. But I quickly found out that it's the teamwork, the leadership team that you all have here, pulling together and making this happen. And that's what it's all about, teamwork, amen? Romania has 21.9 million people. We have 11 churches and preaching points. Around 650 call the United Pentecostal Church their home in Romania. In Hungary, we have 21 churches, and I'm thankful that this last term, I actually preached in 20 of the 21, and I'm thankful that the churches in Hungary are going well, and the gospel is being preached to them, but there are still great needs. This past 2 years, two and a half years ago, my wife and I started a church in Budapest, Hungary, a city of 2 million people. We're on the third floor, no elevator, third floor. And the most we've had there was a few Sundays ago. Our aimer, brother and sister Che, they had 46 in service in a small apartment. We already are bothering the neighbors, by the way. When we worship, we can't be quiet. Is that right? And so the Lord has blessed us with a great church in Budapest, Hungary. And thank the Lord for the aimers that we have. They're helping us. Our son is pastoring the headquarters church in Bucharest, Romania, and thank the Lord for that church. It goes on in the name of the Lord. And not only he is pastoring that church, but he's preaching in other churches as well throughout the country of Romania. Some recent events that happened in Romania, Bulgaria, and Hungary, we brought in this past March around 60 of our leaders in Hungary to teach a three-day seminar too, focusing on the fundamental doctrines. Thank the Lord for the teaching. I believe that we should go and teach all nations, the Bible says. Amen. And we should preach to them and teach them. And thank the Lord for the leaders that we are teaching in the country of Hungary. Amen. 76 countries in the Europe and the Middle East and 32 capital cities that does not have an apostolic meeting point. It is together, though, that we can get the job done. Amen. It's all about you, not you as in Y-O-U, but the letter U. We need to be upbeat about missions. Amen. There are some positive things happening in missions. People are receiving the Holy Ghost. People are being baptized. It's all about you. The second U is urgency. There are urgent needs in missions. Urgency, critical, the end time. The enemy is coming in like a flood. But the Bible says that he will lift up a standard against it. There are urgent situations around the world in missions. Unity. Together. These are the U's. Unity. Working together. Amen? You and us working together for the cause of Christ around the world. Unifying together. Joining us in prayer. Following us on Facebook, which is UPC of Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania, if you want to follow us on Facebook. Understand the fifth U. Understand that there are the church, the missions is a church call, is a personal call. And to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the last U is actually you. You. You are important, your prayers, your church, your support is important to us. I want to present a few things. We have several projects the Lord has allowed us to have. And one project is churches. We have five capital cities of Eastern Europe that needs a church, that needs an apostolic meeting place. And these are the five areas. And a gift or a donation of $10,000 will help us start a church in one of these five cities. These are capital cities of hundreds of thousands of people, like Podgorica, Montenegro, like Pristina, Kosovo, like Sarajevo, Bosnia. I heard there was a girl from Sarajevo in the church here. Is she here tonight? There she is. Bosnia. Thank you. Bosnia. We need a church in Sarajevo. We need a church in the country of Bosnia. Amen. The city of Skopje, Macedonia, there needs to be a church there. And so we are asking for a project, capital cities of Eastern Europe. The second one is evangelism. This could be of any denomination of funds. To conduct evangelistic crusades, meeting, Holy Ghost rallies. I still believe in evangelism, street meetings. Amen. We go unafraid to the streets to preach the gospel. Amen. Literature. This is a candy stick of Brother Demas. Literature. Putting a Bible in their hand. Putting a tract in their hand. And said, this is the way. How many of you have read a tract and heard about the gospel through a printed material? Look at the hands. Reading and understanding. A Bible study maybe was taught to you. So these to print, distribute, and translate oneness apostolic materials in the languages of Romanian, Bulgarian, and in Hungarian. Amen. And there are equipment to purchase office and printing equipment necessary to operate our work. These are some of the projects that we have. And we do solicit most of all, though, your prayer that God will help us to get the job done. Amen. We need you to pray. Amen. We want to show you the presentation now. It's about 6 minutes long. Those of you that were here of this morning, it's the same one. But you will hope you enjoy it again. If you have not seen it, maybe this will be a first. So we ask you to enjoy it. It's on location. We serve the Lord on location. Amen. We don't serve the Lord or get baptized for someone else. We serve it. The Lord for ourselves. So we want you to enjoy this on location. God bless you.
From the early days of the first missionary, Apostle Paul, missionaries have been traveling the world preaching the gospel to every nation. Like Paul, at times they were surrounded by debaters, as on Mars Hill. Find just a few women, as in Philippi by the river, or are run out of time by those who are in conflict. As they traveled in foreign lands to people of other languages and cultures, people have come to know the Lord and the power of the truth. This was possible because of a witness. This was possible because they were on location.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
Michael and Jill Patterson have been missionaries for 27 years. They have traveled thousands of miles by plane, car, train, and foot to preach to thousands. Their ministry has touched many sinners, saints, and churches alike. Together, the world can be reached when you partner with them, put them on location.
Macedonia is still here. The man from Macedonia is still calling. Will you heed that call? Will you hear that call?
Thank you for your prayers and support. Thank you, partners. Thank you, She's for Christ.
Thank you, Ladies Division. This enables us to be on location.
Come on! 사람 세페 모츠메스 블로그다리야.
Thank you.
We could just have our ushers come before we take up an offering tonight. We've got a number of church plants that we're planting here in Bain County. Brother Thomas is taking a team to Stoughton to fulfill a burden and a calling that God put on his heart some 15 years ago. We were able to find a building, 6 months free rent, then $500 a month for the remaining 6 months. Then it jumps up to $1,200 a month, and then $1,400 a month up to 4 years. We went and looked at a building on Park Street recently. They want $40,000 just to rent what Stoughton's getting for free. We did not renew our lease on Park Street. We've just had some issues there with the building and some maintenance issues and things, and I just felt that it was best to just let the building go at this time and look for another place to move Cornerstone and our Sisters Loving Sisters that have been working out of that building there. Just in the process of thinking of all of this here tonight, I know we have $6,500 in our reserve account, because what we did with Park Street is we made an agreement with the landlord that we would pay 6 months in advance, so he gave us a reduced rent cost even further on that. So what I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to plant a church in Bosnia, Sister Alma's home country has no church. 20+ million people. No voice. I asked Brother Carpenter, or Brother Patterson, I said, Brother Patterson, I says, if we raise the funds tonight to start a church in Bosnia, would you do it? And he said, absolutely. We can't go to Bosnia. But he can. So we've got 6,500 sitting. Would anybody like to add to that so we can get up to 10,000 tonight? Anybody like to add to that? Who'd like to go 100? Anybody 100, 500, 1,000? I mean, just 500, 500, 500. Just keep track of what you're doing. Another 500, 100. 100, 300, 1,500, we got 100, 100, 100, 25, anybody do 25, lots of 25s add up, 100, 500, 100, we're planting a church. We may have to let one go here for a temporary, but 200, 25, 25. Anybody want 100? 50? 100? 200? 25? All I want you to do, 500, 50, 50, 50. Let's just thank the Lord for this. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. So what you need to do is you just need to write out your chat, Calvary Gospel Church, and just put it Bosnia. A little too far for a daughter work, so we're just going to call it a church plant. How's that? Bosnia church plant. Just write that down. And our ushers, if you could go ahead and take up that offering. And we'll have Brother Patterson here. I called you a carpenter, right? Brother Patterson, come and preach to us. God bless you.
I am humbled. Amen. God is going to do some great things. Amen. Amen. I appreciate those of you who have bought in to the vision of Eastern Europe. Amen. There are some tremendous, tremendous opportunities. Amen. In this part of the world. And I believe that the Lord is going to help us in the name of the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I wanted to be sure this was God's will. And I think this is the Lord's will for us. I had another message prepared, but in the book of Jonah, how many of you know the book of Jonah? Amen. Amen. The book of Jonah. If we would do this in Romania, I would say please turn in your Bibles to page 758. But because all Romanian Bibles are printed exactly the same. But Jonah chapter 3, and I want to read the entire chapter of the book of Jonah. In the name of the Lord, we can fix this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. He cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came into the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Neither let man or beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And I want to preach for a little bit this evening on the subject, when the beasts are covered with sackcloth. Let's ask the Lord to help us right now together, shall we? In the name of Jesus, we ask that your hand be upon it in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that your mind, your heart, your will, your passion, your desire would be ministered, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Jonah. This great prophet of the Old Testament, 4 chapters long, and yet it is a powerful story of a salvation of a city. An incredible story. In fact, Brother Grant, I would like to have that story, that success story, in our missions endeavors. Amen. The Bible says that the people of Nineveh turned from their evil ways. One of the most remarkable things I believe about this story is the book and the author of the book, because Jonah wrote the book of Jonah. Jonah laid himself bare, if I may say so. He did not try to fake what happened or slant the story to his advantage. He did not try to make himself look good. He just told what happened. Amen. Sometimes I think that we need to be honest with ourselves and say, God, I need you. I've made that mistake, I made that mistake, and I made that mistake. And who can tell if God will turn away his fierce anger from us? Amen. I need him more and more today. In fact, today is the day that I need him the greatest. This is a story of a man just like you and I. It is a story of the anger of God. God was going to destroy this huge city. The evil of that city was so great. The sin of that city, God could not ignore anymore. God was upset. You've heard that old saying, when mama is not happy, nobody is happy. And the Lord was upset. Their sin and their wickedness was so great that he was going to destroy the city. It's a story of the mercies of God. How many of you know that there is a side of the anger of God, but all the mercies of God are so much greater. We sung about that a moment ago. Higher than the heavens, deeper than the oceans, greater than the mountains is the love of God. But the Lord, I want to pose a question to you. If God was going to destroy the city, why did he send a prophet to warn them? He never sent a prophet to warn Sodom, but he sent Jonah to this city to warn them. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, verse 1 of chapter 1, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah did not want to go to that city. He did not want to go to Nineveh. This was a city, historians will tell us, of over 600,000 citizens of this city. Chapter 3 says, to walk around the walls of the city of Nineveh took 3 days' journey. Jonah, the Bible says, rather than go toward Nineveh, he went down to the harbor, bought a ticket to go exactly the geographical opposite direction from Nineveh. But let me tell you, you can run from God, but you can't run fast enough. God knows where you are. And so Jonah, the Bible says, bought a ticket. He ran from God, and he was going to go to another direction. And to make a story a little shorter, he bought the ticket. He got into the boat. They went out into the sea. And the Bible says a great storm prepared by God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's on your trail. He's following you. Amen. Better than any GPS. Better than any hound dog. Come on. Yes. The Bible says the great storm sent by God came up, and the men of the ship, these seasoned mariners, they were seasoned. They knew what was happening. And yet the Bible says they begin to lighten the load, throw over their valuable cargo, and trying to survive the storm. And they found Jonah asleep in the bottom of the boat. And they begin to cry out to their God. So they said to Jonah, cry out to your God. And Jonah said, by the way, I am your problem. I am the problem. You are looking at the problem. We need to look sometimes at ourselves and say, you know what, Michael, you are your greatest problem. The church is not the problem. The music's not the problem. The PA is not the problem. The saints are not the problem. Oh, yeah. The Bible says that Jonah confessed, I am the problem. He was a man running away from God. And by the way, he was causing a problem for everybody around him. And they threw Jonah overboard, and a great calm came immediately. Jonah was the problem. A great fish prepared by God. All of this preparation that the Lord was trying to get the prophet to the, hey, by the way, it's not going to be harder. It's going to be easier to get me to Bosnia than it is to Jonah to get him to Nineveh. Okay? I'm going to go. Come on. I'm not a reluctant. I want to go. Amen. This great fish prepared by God swallowed Jonah, and he was in the belly of that fish, the Bible says, for 3 days and three nights. Almost an incredible story. Almost a story of imagination. The fish became the transportation of Jonah. He spent Jonah out on the shore of the sea, and Jonah went to Nineveh. The Bible says that he went into that great city to cry against it, and he had one message. Now, I know Brother Grant has multiple messages. He's preached many times here, Elder Brother Grant. But how would you believe, how would you accept a one-message preacher? And that's what all Jonah had. One message. 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. That was the message. That was the message. Amen. Verse 5, the Bible says, after that first message, I don't know how long and many days Jonah preached to the city of Nineveh, but the Bible says in verse 5 of chapter 3, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Oh yes, there are still people that will believe God, even in an evil city. Even in an evil city. The Bible says that they begin to repent. They proclaimed a fast, and they put on sackcloth. Now, sackcloth is usually goat hair type woven together to produce a material. It was coarse. It was scratchy to the skin. It was unsightly. It was not colorful. It was a brown, normally rough type of material. And it was a sign of mourning, of extreme distress. Amen. Multiple places in the Bible, it talks about people putting on sackcloth. Amen. Multiple. It was a time of extreme desperation. Oh, we need an answer from God. And the Bible says that they would put on sackcloth. These are emergency situations. This is a critical moment, right? And this is sackcloth. 45 places in the Bible where it says that people covered themselves with sackcloth. I give you a few examples. Hezekiah, when he heard about the pending invasion of the kings of Assyria, the Bible says that he went before the Lord and he put on sackcloth. And he begged the Lord for his help. Let me tell you, when the enemy is coming and you have not many options, you put on sackcloth and say, God, I show you an outward sign of an inward desperation. I need you. Jacob, the Bible says, when he saw the torn, bloody clothes of Joseph in Genesis 37, he covered himself in sackcloth. Daniel, in Daniel 9 and 3, so I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And so here in Jonah chapter 3, the Bible says that the people in verse 5 proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, even from the greatest of them to the least of them. And by the way, in verse 6, it says that even this came to the ears of the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, the Bible says, and he laid his robe from him. This is a sign of humility. Oh, we need God to hear our prayer. We need God to help me. Is there someone here tonight that's saying, my life is in shambles? I need God to help me. And the Bible says that the decree, in verse 7, he calls it to be proclaimed and published throughout all of Nineveh by the decree of his king, of the king and the nobles, saying, neither let man nor beast, herd nor flock. Now let me tell you, I've heard about fasting, but in this case, even the chickens fasted. The cows fasted. The goats fasted. Let me tell you, that's pretty strong. The dogs fasted. The rabbits fasted. The fish fasted. Come on. That's what happened. This is critical. This is an emergency. We got to get God's attention here. Amen. Herd nor flock, tasted anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. This is, hey, God, we need your help. And the Bible says in verse 8, but let men and beasts be covered with sackcloth. This is the only time in Scripture where they even covered a beast in sackcloth. Even the animals they covered in sackcloth. This seems to indicate to me they were going even the extra, extra mile. The extra, extra mile. We want to make sure we got this covered. Going to be careful about this. We need God's attention. Amen. This is the last of the last hopes. There's no other option we have. This is serious business. And so the next 17 minutes, I want to share with you what you do or how desperate it is. Six things when you cover the beast with sackcloth. Number one, you cover your beast with sackcloth when you know God is against you. Let me tell you, when God is on your trail and he's not happy, we go the extra mile to get God's attention. Amen. Extreme distress. You're running from God. He will find you. Hey, the there is people who ran from God, and some was not caught by God. I offer you an example. Pharaoh, after 10 plagues, why? After plagues of lice and darkness and hail and wind and boils and all of these, why? My advice to you today, if you are running from God, turn around. Amen. Make things right with God. Go the extra mile, ask him for his mercy. You cover the beast in sackcloth when you know that God is against you. Number two, when you know the stakes are high. The city is going to be destroyed. There's going to be a mighty destruction here. Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. This is an extreme crisis. We need God to help us. Amen. All the stores and the houses and the palaces, the animals and people and money are all going to be destroyed. The stakes are high, church. Hey, let me tell you, the stakes are high for the ministry of this church. Hey, come on. Madison needs to hear the voice of God. This is the voice of God for Madison, Wisconsin. The stakes are high. This is not just a little storm. The stakes are high. This is serious business. Amen. We have nothing to lose if we serve God. Hey, guys, there's nothing to lose here. It's everything to gain. It's everything to gain. You don't lose anything serving God. This is everything. The stakes are high. Hey, let me tell you, if God destroys the city, every building, every wall, every bathroom, every house, every store will be destroyed. Amen. Number three, the beasts are covered with sackcloth when you know the time is short. Nineveh proclaimed, Jonah preached to the Nineveh people. He said there are 40 days. And I don't know if he did this, Brother Grant, but I can imagine if he did. He would preach out the first day 40 days, and then the next day he went out and he said 39 days. And then the next day he went out in 38 days and 37 days and 35 and then 15. And I'm not sure how far he got and counting down the days. But what would you do if you knew you only had 40 days to live? Amen. Amen. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Right now, today. Amen. Right now, today. Today is your day. This evening is your evening. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number four, you cover the beast with sackcloth when the king is covered with sackcloth. The Bible says the king of Nineveh covered himself with sackcloth, from the richest to the poorest, from the palace to the homeless. They went the extra mile. They covered themselves, even the animals in the barn. Everyone should be covered with sackcloth. In fact, the decree came from the kings and the nobles of the city. Amen. Normally, a storm would destroy your house, but the president would continue to live in the White House. The economy can fail, and the rich will survive. But the Bible says that even the king climbed off his throne and took off his robe. And the Bible says that he covered himself with sackcloth. There was an example in 2 Kings 6 where the king of Samaria, the Bible says a great famine came to the city of Samaria. They were surrounded by the armies of the enemy. And the Bible says that they just waited. The armies of the enemy waited and waited and waited. And they began to starve the people inside the city. And the Bible says that there were prices paid for goat's heads and donkey heads and dove's dung for people to eat. Oh, many pieces of silver. And the Bible says that the king was walking on the wall one day, and two women went down there, and they were fussing amongst themselves. And he said, "Hey, what you fussing about?" And one woman said, "Hey, we agreed together, her and I, we would eat my child yesterday, and then the next day we would eat her child. And we killed my child, and we boiled it and ate it yesterday, but she will not do her child today." The Bible says at that, the king tore his robe, and underneath his robe, he was covered with sackcloth. Hey, let me tell you, when the king is covered with sackcloth, it's a sign of desperation. The king is trying to get the attention of the Lord. Amen. What a sign of desperation for this great city of Nineveh. That's number four. Number five, when you love your family and you want it saved, you cover a beast with sackcloth. Hey, let me tell you, church, I love my family. How many of you love your families? How many love your families? You love your children. You love your nephews. You love your nieces. You love your grandchildren. Amen. This is a sign of desperation. What are we going to do here? We will even cover ourselves with sackcloth because we love our families. Why do I support my church? Why do I support my pastor? Because I love my family. Why do I want walls around my life? Because I love my family. Amen. Nehemiah came back to build the walls of the city of Jerusalem. It was given the money and the funds by the king. And he came back to build the walls of the city again. And the Bible says that he did this in a short period of time. But all the opposition that Nehemiah had in building the walls of the city. But he made a little pause. Sometimes we need some encouragement about halfway through. You know what I mean? Halfway through a project, we need to have a little encouragement. So the Bible says in 4:14 of Nehemiah, he arose and he said to the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, "Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." Hey, this is our family. If God destroys Nineveh, it's going to destroy my family. And I want to fight for my wife. And I want to fight for my son. And I want to fight for my daughter. And I want to fight for my home. And I want to fight for my brethren. I want to fight for them. Oh, let me tell you, I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to even cover the animals with sackcloth because I love my family. I'm desperate for something from you, Lord. Oh, yes. We can build the walls, folks. Amen. Because we love our families. We love our wives. We love our children. Do you love your city? Do you love your home? Do you love the church? Amen. Will you love the church? You're going to fight for the church? Hallelujah. We're going to fight for the church because we love our families. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And the sixth point I want to make tonight, why do we cover the beast with sackcloth? Number six is when there is a possibility that God will repent. Amen. When there is a possibility that God will repent. Amen. In Nineveh, there was only one message, and that message was, "You are all going to die." Jonah did not preach repentance. He did not preach mercy. He didn't preach love. He did not preach forgiveness. He did not even preach escape. He only had one message. And the message was rather cruel. You are all going to die. And we find out in chapter 4 that Jonah was a little... I guess he was way too enthusiastic with that message. In fact, he wanted it to happen. Now imagine compounding all of that. You have an enthusiast, you have a preacher that wants you to die, and your God that's mad at you. You kind of go to the extreme measure. What other options do we have? But the people of Nineveh, the Bible says, oh, let me tell you, the people of Nineveh believe God, verse 5. Oh, that is a first good step. Believe God. They decided, since we have no chance, there's nothing to lose. What do you do when you have no promise that he'll forgive? What do you do when you have no word, no Bible, that he will not throw you in hell? You go all in. You become desperate. You lay it all out. You hold nothing back. You put it all on the table. Just maybe, just possibly, God will forgive. Yes. Maybe. But today, there's no maybes to it. We have a word from the Lord that if we come to him with a humble heart, that he will forgive. We have a message today, not of vengeance and judgment, but of the mercies of God. We have a message today of the love of God. And I offer you today a message of hope that Jesus will forgive. Jesus will have mercy. There are mercies that are new every morning. There are the beauties of God. So we do not serve a God that is ready to judge, but we serve a God that is ready to have mercy. In fact, our great leader, Brother Bernard, a few weeks ago was preaching to us at the School of Missions, and he preached upon this subject. Grace will find a way. Let me tell you, I believe that grace is looking for a way. Grace and mercies of God are looking for ways. They're exploring new ways, new possibilities to forgive and to help people. Grace will find a way. So why not give yourself a chance? Try and see if God will forgive today. I promise if you come to him today, there's a good chance God will forgive. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? If you truly repent, God will give you the Holy Spirit today. You walked in here tonight with just mere days left on the message of the prophet. And in sign of desperation, you came to church and you said, Lord, I need you today. And the Bible says, the decree of the king in verse 8, but let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent? Who can tell? Let me tell you, I offer you today a message of confidence. God will repent. God will forgive. God will have mercy. And turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. In verse 10, oh, what a beautiful scripture. Oh, and God saw their works. They turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them and did it not. Oh, let me tell you what a beautiful verse. And God saw what they did. God's watching. God's watching. God's seeing. Oh, I can tell you that God's not looking at an outward posture. He's looking at the inward heart right now. I sense today in the Holy Ghost that there is someone here that you did not even know if God would have mercy on you. I tell you in the name of the Lord, if you turn your heart to him right now, he'll have mercy. He'll have mercy. He'll pour out love without measure on you right now. Oh, you don't know, preacher, how far I, what I've done. You don't know how far. Let me tell you, the wickedness of Nineveh was exceedingly great. The anger of the Lord was so much against that city that he would have destroyed the city. But he sent a prophet. He sent a prophet. And the verse 10, I repeat again. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. If you have nothing to lose, then you can try everything that you can. Amen. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us right now, shall we? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. These altars are open for you. These altars are open for you. Amen. Come and cry out to the Lord. And who can tell if God will repent of the evil that he has done?
Brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.